pronouncing, not so sure if water baptism, not for us. Okay, well, that sounds like a question. Let me see where we... I missed some statements back here, I guess. Let's see. Don't need to get baptized, question mark. Not by water just gets you wet, but by the Holy Spirit upon believing the gospel of Christ. Good answer. Not so sure if water baptism not for us. Okay, let's go into some of the scriptures about that. We'll take that as a question. And we can always get to this mystery gospel another day. So, first off, let's look in the seven unities that Paul mentions in Ephesians 4, verses 4, 5, and 6. There is one body. Pardon me just a minute. Excuse me. No, it's not an interruption. I covet these questions, and you know, that's how we find out what's really on people's minds. I can, you know, do a shotgun approach day after day and not succeed in anything, but if somebody tells me what they need to hear, we can find it in the Bible and apply it then. And this is good, in other words. So, there is one body. Okay, that's the body of Christ. It had some people in it during Acts, like the Corinthians, that Paul said not in 1 Corinthians 12:27, now you are the body of Christ. And we saw the verse a few minutes ago that, well, let's put those verses up there. Let me find my other poster here just a second. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Just talking about believers here. He says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's the one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink, all made to drink into one body, one Spirit. I got to get my eyes engaged to my brain, I guess. Sorry about that. But you can see it on the screen. We're not trying to hide anything here. We're trying to expose the scriptures. Let's go down to verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So it's by that baptism that they are in the body, the one body. And that's the one body. Now you come back over here, and Paul, after the end of Acts, when he started going to all people now, he says there is one body. It includes both those people that were nigh to God by being in the synagogues, by being there when Paul went and preached that Jesus is the Messiah, that he's the Son of God, risen from the dead. And they believed it. They were not like those that ran the synagogues and kicked out people that believed that Jesus was the Christ. So those early people were nigh, they were in the synagogues, they heard it and believed it. These later people that Paul writes to in Ephesians were not in the synagogues. They were throwing stones at Paul and throwing stones at the... They were cursing God. They were cursing Israel. They were against Israel. But God, Christ sent Paul. Later on, he sent him to all people, to those people too that cursed Israel, so that they could hear the gospel and some of them would believe it. And stop cursing Israel and cursing God. They would believe and be saved. So that's the one body. It includes both those that were far away and those that were near. Okay, there's one Spirit. Let's get to the part about the one baptism. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Our one hope is the hope of eternal life in heaven with God. And that's in Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Let me just put those up quickly. 20 and 21. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. So, going on in the Ephesians 4, verse 5 now, the next verse. Three more. One Lord. There is one Lord. Indivisible. We know him as Jesus Christ. We know him as the Holy Spirit. And we know him as the Father. There are three persons. It's more than just modes. It's not just three different ways he reveals himself. Because they talk to each other. Jesus Christ prayed to the Father. And he was still God when he was praying. And yet he was a God-man. Okay, one faith. There's one faith. And that is the gospel of God. It's that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. What Peter said in Matthew 16, that Jesus Christ said, I'll build my church on this Christ being the Son of the living God. But we get to the next one. One baptism. Well, which one is it? Is it, you know, there were I've heard there are, you know, different counts, but there are 13 to 15, at least 13 to 15 different baptisms in the Old Testament. Different baptisms. You know, Israel is said to have been baptized in the sea and in the cloud. Well, when they went through the sea, it says they went through on dry ground. They didn't get wet. There was a baptism without water. Let's look at the origin of baptism. I'm looking up a verse here. Sorry, I'm stalling. Exodus 19, verse 5. Now, therefore, if you will... This is God talking to Moses to talk to Israel, having come out of Egypt. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. There's a difference there. They're above all people. Another place says you will be the head and the rest of the nations will be the tail. So all the earth is mine, he says. And then in verse 6, he says, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. Now that's not just a kingdom with a priest. That's a whole kingdom of priests, priesting to the rest of the world. And you see that in Zechariah 8:23. You can see that plainly. Many other places, too. Israel in the future will have the gospel for the nations. And that'll be after the body of Christ has been taken to heaven that we read there in Philippians 3:21 and 22. But look at this kingdom of priests. What happens to make a person a priest? You can't just choose to be a priest. I'm not keeping up with what's going on in text. Let me go on with this explanation of where baptism came from so we can understand who it applies to. Exodus 29:1. After he told them they were to be a kingdom of priests, he said, this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them, to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish. And he goes through some other qualifications in verses 2 and 3. And then in 4, he says, and Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water. Well, that was a necessity. They needed to be washed with water. And you get down to verse 7, that's not all. Then thou shalt take the anointing oil, and pour it upon his head, and anoint him. Well, those two things happened in Jesus' day. John the Baptist came washing or baptizing those who would be part of the kingdom, who wanted to be part, who believed. And there were some that believed and some that didn't. No, but Luke tells us about that. He says, and all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. So there was a choice that had to be made, but John the Baptist came baptizing Israel to be a kingdom of priests, and that's exactly what Jesus offered them. Jesus came and offered them the kingdom. If you look in Mark 1:14 and 15, now after that John was put in prison, that's John the Baptist, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. It's not the gospel of Christ died for your sins, not the gospel given to Paul starting in Acts 9. This is still in Mark here, the beginning of Mark. What is that gospel of God? Well, when he preached it, he said, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, God had promised Israel to be a kingdom of priests, and he's saying, it's at hand. Jesus was saying it's at hand. And John the Baptist had been baptizing people, preaching that the kingdom of God is at hand. And that's what, after Jesus went back to heaven, that's what Peter preached on the Jewish feast day of Pentecost, preached it in the temple, that if they would all repent of having, you know, killed their Messiah, if they would all turn to God, that Jesus Christ would return. In chapter 3, 19 and 20, he says Jesus Christ would return. And that would be the beginning of the kingdom, which starts, by the way, with the 70th week of Daniel. There were 69 weeks had already transpired. Messiah had been cut off. And when Jesus, that whole prophecy is cut off there, and not permanently, but when Christ returns, it starts with that 70th week. There's a week of years to go by, and they're called Jacob's trouble. It's not the body of Christ's trouble, it's Jacob's trouble. So that's where baptism came from. And for a while, when Paul was preaching, he would baptize people. But there came a time in Paul's ministry and his teaching that Christ revealed to him another revelation. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So Paul sent his helpers to do what he did, you know, to preach the gospel. He didn't, you know, some people say, well, Paul didn't baptize, but his disciples did. Well, first of all, they're not called disciples unless they're in the kingdom program with Peter, James, and John. They're the disciples. But Paul didn't, you know, first of all, we have to accept what the Bible says. That's our basis. We do not go beyond what the Bible says. We try hard not to. We weed out anything that's our own opinions. I see, you're welcome, please. Daryl, come on up. I see your hand there. Go ahead.
Wow, you answered my question just before I hit send. I was wondering if you were hanging in there, still here. Nice to meet you, peace forever. A follow-up. Can I ask you a question? First of all, the vast majority of Christendom believes that water baptism is a requirement. Some teach, in fact, that it's a requirement for salvation. Some teach it simply as a way to demonstrate your faith. And there's even, I think, the world's largest, for example, the world's largest Protestant denomination is called Baptists, you know, and they believe in water baptism. Baptism don't save anybody. Yeah, water baptism doesn't save anybody. Right? Let's just be careful here. We want to make sure that what we're talking about, the word baptism simply means to identify. It's an identification. So if you always think, whenever you come across the word baptism or baptize or any form of that word in your Bible, biblically speaking, it simply means to identify. Ephesians, one Lord, one faith, one identification. And for example, to demonstrate that, Mike went back to the old Hebrew Old Testament Exodus, and let's look at where the first testament began, and let's look at the identification or the baptism there. Anyways, a lot of people connect the dots. When they hear the word baptism, they automatically think water. And that's just, but if people do it, even if it's unnecessary, does it really matter if their hearts are just to obey and please God? Well, yeah, it does matter because, let me make an extreme connection here. Let's say, because people who are not saved, people who are not Christians, people who are not members of the church, the body of Christ, they look in and they see that water baptism is being practiced. Now, you've already typed in the room that you don't believe it's a requirement for salvation. But from an outsider's point of view, they look in and they see everybody getting water baptized, right, yeah, I saw that you said that, but I'm saying from the outside looking in, okay, for example, if you've ever seen the movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, it's with George Clooney and their escape prisoners, remember those two guys that were escape prisoners, they saw the water baptism down in the river there, and they said, I want to get saved. And they thought if they went down there and got dunked in water, that they would be saved. You know? And so, let's say that all Christians started the practice of wearing something orange, men wearing orange ties or orange handkerchief, or women wearing an orange scarf, or carry, you know, something to identify themselves. They wore orange on Friday. Well, then people from the outside looking in might get the wrong idea that wearing orange is what gets you saved. So yeah, it does matter. And so anyways, going back to this identification, the word simply means to be identified. I'll come in, and we're going to Exodus chapter 24, and this is the first testament. We've heard of the Old and the New Testament, the first and the second testament, and Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice. First of all, who is all the people? This is the nation. This is the nation of Israel, Jews, and said, This is what they responded with. All the words which the Lord hath spoken, hath said, will we do. All the words which the Lord hath said, we will do. And that's the law of Moses, okay? And they said, all these things we will do. Of course, they never did it, but that was their promise. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar and under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. 12 pillars, 12 tribes, nation of Israel. And sent young men of the children. Sorry, it's hard for me to read off the screen. Young men of the children of Israel. Again, the context, Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And all right. And so it's a identification. It's a cleansing. And Moses took half the blood and put it on basins, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant. Remember, all these things which the Lord hath spoken, we shall do. And he took the book of the covenant, read to the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord hath said, we will do and be obedient. Now look here. And so this is, they made that promise. This is the book of the covenant, the first covenant, the first testament, the law of Moses. And Moses took the blood, and look at this, and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. And so there is an example of a baptism, an identification with blood, and it has to do with the nation of Israel. Now, second point I'd like to make. Every time you see water baptism in your Bible, you can connect the dots directly to the nation of Israel. It's a Jewish ritual. It's got a Jewish element every single time you see it in the Bible. Now, I'm going to ask you the next question that I wanted to ask. What verse do you would you usually point to demonstrate the water baptism being practiced? Would it be like the Great Commission? Yes, that's one of the reasons that, yeah, Jesus Christ's water baptism was one of a kind. And that's at, so you would use like the Great Commission. Let me come back to that, because Ellen has just given me another good example. Let's look at the water baptism of Jesus Christ to demonstrate why the word means identification. John chapter 1, and this has to do with the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or should I come in here? Well, let's just come in right here. Wait. Back up a little bit, see if anything's relevant. Okay, we'll go here. Okay, the next day, John the Baptist, seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Verse 30. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. So again, John the Baptist speaking. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, I am come baptizing with water. You see that? Why did John come baptizing with water? When you see the word therefore, you ask, why is the word therefore? Why did John come baptizing with water? The verse explains it, that he, Jesus Christ, the prophesied Messiah to the nation of Israel, should be made manifest to Israel, should be identified to Israel. This is the reason that Jesus Christ was water baptized. Keep reading verse 32. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. The same is he which baptizeth which with the Holy Ghost. So there we see another. So, 2 points. The reason that Jesus Christ was water baptized is unique, one of a kind, that he would be made manifest to Israel. He would be identified to Israel. Now, in verse 33, we see a second type of baptism. Jesus Christ is going to baptize with the Holy Ghost. And when did that occur? In Acts chapter 2. Right? The comforter. So anyway, water baptism, a lot of people also use Acts chapter 2 verse. Anyway, you said the so-called Great Commission. And my water baptism for cleansing is a daily thinking. Yeah. Okay, so here's the Great Commission. Okay. Now let's take it. The room owner, there was a real written purpose for all baptisms. Water baptism, baptism with the Holy Ghost, baptism with fire. And they are all related to Israel's kingdom. That's right. There's always a Jewish element to baptism. Except the baptism with the Holy Spirit, which Paul talks about. Anyway, the Great Commission here. Let's finish reading this before it scrolls off my screen. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Again, always when you see that word, think identifying them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let me put verse 19 back on the screen. Okay. So, people that claim, that's a very real, that's an instruction, that is water baptism, and that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ told them to do, to water baptize. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And also, if you claim water baptism, baptism with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Okay, so here's the Great Commission. Okay. Now let's take it. The room owner, there was a real written purpose for all baptisms. Water baptism, baptism with the Holy Ghost, baptism with fire, and they are all related to Israel's kingdom. That's right. There's always a Jewish element to baptism, except the baptism with the Holy Spirit, which Paul talks about. Anyway, the Great Commission here. Let's finish reading this before it's.
I don't see a problem there. Isn't that what Paul talks about, the baptism with the Holy Spirit? Not with, but by one Spirit or well. But okay, gotcha.
Close off my screen. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Again, always when you see that word, think identifying them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let me put verse 19 back on the screen. Okay. So, people that claim, that's a very real, that's an instruction, that is water baptism, and that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ told them to do, to water baptize. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And also, if you claim, if people claim that doctrine, they need to also claim the doctrine of verse 20, do they not? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, we can go through an exercise of looking at the Lord's commandments, and a lot of people claim that they do follow Jesus. Grace and peace, Ron. So anyways, I don't want to get carried away here, but that's just a little bit of an attention getter about the subject of water baptism. And Mike explained it earlier today in the church, the body. Have you heard of the church, the body of Christ? Is that terminology, are you familiar with that? Don't want to use terms that you may not be familiar with. Okay, and we need to look at that. This is the church that is recognized by God today. And, okay, Mike, let me just read these two verses. And I'll just read three verses, maybe four. Yeah, let me read four to get the four. I'll put four on the screen, but read the last two just to get the context, okay? Sorry, Mike. I don't want to leave them hanging here. So we see the context is the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And hath put all things under his feet and gave him, Jesus Christ, to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The church, the body of Christ. The church, which he's the head. He's the head of the church, which is his body. And let's see. Back to the baptism part. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one, capital S, Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, are we all baptized. Always think identification. Are we all identified into one body? Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So today there is a Holy Spirit baptism. Today there is a, hi Lou, welcome into the room. Today there is a Holy Spirit identification into the church, the body of Christ. See, when we get saved today, we become members of his body. And we're all members in particular, Paul talks about. Only Paul talks about the church, the body of Christ. Let's see, Corinthians. Okay, I'll finish. Let me, one more verse. Go, Mike. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. See there? Saved people, we are members of the church, the body of Christ. Do you see that? Do you see that? Okay, good. That's all. That's all. I just wanted to. He said he hadn't. He or she, sorry, hasn't. Wasn't familiar with the. With that terminology, and so we don't want to just assume people know the terminology that we're using, but as you see, it is biblical. It's the church, the body of Christ. Well, there's only one church recognized by God today. I'm not talking about assemblies. I'm talking about churches recognized by God, and it is the church, the body of Christ. So, Lou, you didn't see the Ephesians verses that I put on the screen, so let me put them back on the screen for you. And see these here, Lou? And hath put all things under his feet, Jesus Christ, and gave him, Jesus Christ, to be the head. He's our head. He's not our king. To be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So we're talking about a church that is recognized by God. Now, just a little side note here. There are exactly three churches that are recognized by God in the Bible. One, the church which was in the wilderness for 40 years they roamed the wilderness. Number two, it's called the Church of God, Acts chapter 7. Thank you, Gary. And there's also the Church of God, otherwise known as the church which was at Jerusalem. And that would be also known as the little flock, Peter, James, John, the 12 apostles, the 3,000 and 5,000 that were added to that church. Now, when did the church begin? And I'll turn it over to you, Mike, because I'll go forever.
Repenter, he's right here. He's in the room.
I thought you were going to continue there. That's all right. I was going to go down another, not another trail. It's something we were talking about baptism. But, Daryl, if you would continue with that, because we haven't been talking about baptism in a few minutes here. So if you want to continue with that, go right ahead. And then I'll take it in a minute or so when you make after you make your point. If you can, if you're ready to, go ahead. All right, then you can pick it up afterwards. If Gary or any of the admins, if you want to continue the room, I have to go in a little while, and I'll either close the room or you guys can close it when you're done. I wanted to bring up a couple points here, especially in regard to something that Peace for Everyone had said. He didn't, as I recall, you said you do not believe water baptism is necessary for salvation. Is that correct? Okay. In that case, well, there's a couple verses I want to... Let me put this verse up first. It's an overall statement that I think you are already in compliance with. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Lack of study will bring shame. Well, how are we to study? Rightly dividing the word of truth. So God has put divisions in the word of truth, and we are to rightly divide them to understand what he has said. Well, with that in mind, here's the verse about baptism. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth not also now save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Peter says for Israel that their baptism saves them. And you apparently are making a distinction between that and between what Paul said. For Christ sent me not to baptize. So in that sense, you are rightly dividing. You're dividing what Paul said. You're making that division between what Paul said and what Peter said. Now, you can do that in many cases. James in James 2:24 said, well, let me put it up there. James 2:24. There would be, if they were all, there would be a contradiction if all those statements were to the same people. But as you can see here, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Well, that's James, one of Israel's 12 apostles. And if you listen to well, who was he speaking to? We'll get to that in a minute. But look at what the difference is here that Paul said. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Just the opposite. So that definitely would be a contradiction if they were both told to you, wouldn't they? But if you consider that James was one of the 12, it says when James, Cephas, and John, this is a different James, but it's that same group of 12 apostles, Let me get this again. When James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, that's Paul speaking, they gave unto me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen. That would be all those that are not the true Israel of God. And they unto the circumcision. That would be all those that are the true circumcision, the true Israel of God. So Peter, James, and John and the 12 have been assigned or have pledged to go to Israel. James was speaking to, well, we have to take what the Bible says. That's our whole point in this room. We don't go by tradition or opinion or feelings. We go by what the Bible actually tells us. That's really the only authority we have, isn't it? What God actually says and put in writing that he will stick to. He's going to stick to whatever he said, whether it's in writing or not. But this is what we have to go by, the Word of God. James was speaking to Israel. And, okay, I missed some of these. Yeah, there's the proof there, too. In the beginning, as he wrote the book of James, he says, James, a servant of God. Whoops, I'm trying to read it and it's jumping. Hold on a minute. Where'd it go? James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to, here's who he is writing to the 12 tribes, which are scattered abroad. So you can't take that, rip it away from their receivership or their, that they were the audience, not us. You can't just verse lift. You can't just steal it and say, well, it's for me too. That's like walking into the back of a wedding, and when the bride says, I do, take this man, well, it meant me. You know, and you walk out with the bride. No. She said it to him, not to you. And James said it to Israel, not to the body of Christ, not to unbelievers. Micah 5. Which part up there? Oh, well, anyway. So, with regard to the body of Christ, how do we get into it? Well, what I was saying there about those contradictions, apparent contradictions, if you don't consider who was being spoken to. If you don't rightly divide what Paul said there in his epistles from actually the rest of the Bible, which is to Israel. The rest of the Bible is. You want to find out what's not to Israel specifically, but what is to us, you have to look in Romans through Philemon, in Paul's epistles. So, let me just get this verse up here. Let's look at how we get into the body of Christ. You are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So, it's faith in Christ Jesus, but what kind of, what faith about what? What is the content of that faith? Do we just believe that he existed? Everybody would be saved then, just about. Satan believes Jesus existed. Let's look where Paul defines what we are to believe to be part of the body of Christ, to be saved, in fact. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you. And I preached it to these Corinthians back in Acts 18. And he wrote this in Acts 19. And he says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. So in other words, there's a difference between the gospel that he preached and what Peter preached. Peter was preaching about a kingdom coming from heaven that they would be part of, that they would reign with Christ on earth in the land that was promised them. But Paul says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, and by which you are saved. Not waiting to be saved like Israel. Israel had to wait for their sins to be blotted out when Christ returns. They were waiting for that fountain to be opened up in Zechariah 13 for sins that would cover their sins. But not us. We believe the gospel and we are saved. And what is that gospel to be believed? It's in the next two verses, verses 3 and 4. But remember, verses 1 and 2 tell you that you're saved by believing this. The Old Testament never told them they were saved by that righteous servant that would suffer many things and take the sins of the world, or sins of Israel, actually, on himself back then, is all they were told. But, did I post it? Yeah, there it is. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. It's that same thing that he had preached to them. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. And Romans 4:24 and 25 adds to it that when he rose it was for our justification. So believing that, you are saved. And as being saved, we are all children of God by faith. And going on to the next verse here. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's how you get baptized into Christ. by believing, by having that faith. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And he explains it a little differently in that verse we put up a couple times before in 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's how we're in Christ. That he just spoke of there in Galatians 3:27, I think it was. Have been baptized into Christ. You have put on Christ. Well, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made, all made to drink into one Spirit. I see your hand, Daryl. I got to go soon, but go ahead. Oh, Daryl, let me know if you guys want to keep the room open after I go and then close it when you're done.
Keep the room open after I go and then close it when you're done.
Gary, let him know because I got to leave too. I actually want to speak to Lou. He found that. So let's see here. Neither Jew nor Greek. What verse were you referring to when you typed that? Bond or free, Jew or Greek? It means everybody. Yeah, Lou left. All right. Well, okay. I'll just share a few verses here just to okay, peace forever, grace and peace to you. I'll just continue on here showing differences in the Bible that and why they're different. We looked at James 2:24. I don't know who put that in the room, but let's read it. You see then how that by works a man is justified. By works a man is justified. And we see that the audience to who is James writing? James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. He's writing to the 12 tribes of Israel. Now let's compare that scripture with something that Paul writes. Ephesians chapter 2, and compare it. It's saying something that is totally exactly different than what James wrote. James, again, how that by works a man is justified. Paul writes, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Saying two different things. It's all true. Mike shared the verse from 2 Timothy earlier, 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly dividing the word of truth. So something needs to be divided. It's not truth from error, it's truth from truth. What James writes is absolutely true. That doctrine is true for to whom he's writing it, to the nation of Israel at that time. The doctrine that Paul writes is true as well. It's even though it's different, even though it's totally different, it's all true. Okay, we lost him. Grace and peace, everybody. I'm going to go now.